Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Dr. John Stamey, and this is Scary Cast Tuesday. It's as if we don't have enough to talk about on Monday. We have got Scary Cast Tuesday, and that's kind of an exciting thing. Tonight we've got an old and good friend. We've got Matt Delf with us from Ewing, Virginia. Did I get that right, Matt?
You did.
Well, good. And Mark Johnston is with us. He's finishing up a special assignment for me, and he'll be right here with us on the air. But anyway, it's great to have you here as we're two and a half or about 3 weeks away from the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, the crown jewel of Bigfoot in Georgia. And it's going to be just a lot of fun. Matt, you're going to be there with us, and you're going to be bringing your conspirator in crime, your partner in crime, Jessica Jones. By the way, I hadn't talked to Jessica in a week. How's she doing?
She's doing pretty good. I talked to her over the weekend, and she's doing real good, actually.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. She's a nice lady, and there's an article about her in the latest Bigfoot Herald. Everybody check out BigfootHerald.com. It's a fun little newspaper. It'll be coming out next month, and we're going to be talking about the speakers from the Nebraska Bigfoot Conference. That's going to be coming up actually the week after Georgia Bigfoot, because Georgia Bigfoot comes out on April the 16th, Saturday, which is the day before Easter. And then the next weekend in Hastings, Nebraska, is Nebraska Bigfoot Conference, hosted so ably by Harriet McFeely, such a nice lady. We all love Harriet. And some of our guest speakers are going to be some of her guest speakers, so it's going to be a lot of fun. So anyway, so tell us now, what have you been doing in the last couple weeks? We weren't able to get to everything a couple weeks ago when we had you as a guest. So what have you been up to in the last 2 or 3 weeks? Because, Matt, you're always up to very, very interesting things in your exploration for Bigfoot. So the floor, my buddy, is yours.
Well, past few weeks I've been, of course, always researched nonstop. You know, it's a way of life for me. But I'm trying to plan out a expedition coming up here, hopefully probably late spring, early summer, and just trying to get the locations, the sighting reports, try and get everything all gathered up, all the data, try and make a map out the area and so forth, just prepping for this expedition and then getting ready for the Georgia conference coming up. And, of course, always taking reports like normal.
Well, that's good. I mean, we're gonna have a lot of fun there in Clayton, Georgia, at the Rabun County Civic Center. And that's on Savannah Street in Clayton, Georgia. And thank you so much to our team of experts that are helping us so much. First of all, Linda Schofield, who's the head of the Rabun County Chamber, she keeps pumping the stuff out. Ticket sales are going through the roof. Everybody better get their Georgia Bigfoot tickets, georgiabigfootconference.org, not .com, but .org. Everybody better get their tickets because we're down to like 47 tickets left. Matt, can you believe that?
Oh, wow. And it's still, what, 3 weeks away? So...
let's say it's a long 2.5 weeks. How's that?
There you go. Last time it sold out, people were trying to get tickets.
It'll be sold out before the conference opens. I can guarantee you that. Number one. Number two, we've got a feature story in the Mountain Laurel magazine, which they put out about 25,000 copies of that magazine all over Rabun County, and everybody is going to see that nice feature story that Mike Dietrich wrote for us. He is such a super guy. He's become a friend almost in 2 weeks. I really like the guy, and he is very pro Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and we appreciate that. So We're just glad to have him on board. We've got, he's one of our team along with Linda Schofield at the Chamber. And of course, we couldn't do it without Annie Williams at Rabun County Events and Venues. That lady, I mean, they are all so supportive. And you know what, Matt? It takes a supportive community to help put together a Bigfoot conference. You can believe that, can't you?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
So those are our three most valuable. They're all three of them going to get a most valuable player certificate there at the conference, and it's just great to have them on board, and their keepers, Annie Williams and Linda Schofield, have been with us since the beginning 4 years ago. And guess what happens next year, Matt? Are you ready for me to make the big announcement?
I'm ready.
Next year is the fifth anniversary, number five for the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and it's going to be spectacular. We're already contacting some speakers to see who we can get, and it's going to be great. And, I'm going to go ahead right now and ask you, will you come to the fifth annual Georgia Bigfoot Conference next year?
You know I will.
Good, you better.
Most definitely.
You better, or I'll come up to you. Or I'll come up to Ewing, Virginia, and I'll drag you into the car and bring you down. Absolutely. No, it'll be a lot of fun. And
yes.
We'll see who we can get. So it'll be great. And so, again, not only are you going to be there, but Jessica Jones is going to be there, your partner in crime. She's a nice lady. And what have you heard from her in the last couple of weeks? Have you heard anything worth reporting for us?
She's doing a lot of work. She's got some shows that she started up. She's started up a new channel for remote viewing. I believe this week or next week it's debuting. She's got a lot of shows that she's putting out there, and she's on a lot of podcasts. She's been doing a lot of talk radio and podcasts. She's been out in the field. She was out in the field last weekend, and so she stays busy. She's covered up. She's in it 110%. That's for sure.
Well, I tell you what, when you talk about covered up, I lead the old double life. I have the during the week job, and then I have every night and every weekend job with my conferences. And you know what? I love it. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I got to give a shout out to Transamerica Life Insurance Corporation. They are the best people in the world to work for. They really are. My manager, Tammy McClellan, and the whole crowd there in the Conway office. Transamerica is just great. And I get my work done, but I'll tell you what, every night I'm hammering it out with the conferences. And that's what you have to do. The COVID epidemic taught me that you can make things work, but it just takes time, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, just because people are still interested in this stuff. Huh?
Well, they are, and just the speed at which Georgia Bigfoot Conference tickets are selling, I thought the biggest and fastest sale of tickets ever was the first Georgia Bigfoot Conference. But, Buddy Rowe, I was wrong. People are so excited about it. And one thing, everybody who can go to the Georgia Bigfoot Conference on Facebook, I made a post that hit almost 4,000 people, and that is paranormal sites in and around Rabun County that you can go to if you're coming from a distance and you want something to do. We've got Juddicolla Rock, which is up there. That is a bunch of petroglyphs, and that is a little bit near Western Carolina University, but we're only talking 60 miles. We're talking about an hour and 10-minute drive, so that is a lot of fun. Then we're talking about Track Rock, which is exactly the other way, kind of south west from Clayton, Georgia, and that's something that Will Rodriguez told me about, and I don't know, Will and I might head on down there Friday before the conference, and if we do, Anybody is welcome to come with us. It'll be a lot of fun. And then, of course, we've got several graveyards, older graveyards in Clayton that are really a lot of fun to go to if you're into the paranormal. So just check out that post. It's hit almost 4,000 people, and it's about sites in and around Clayton, Georgia. Oh, and also one that I don't want to forget is the Labyrinth in Otto, North Carolina. What you do is you take Highway 441, Highway 441, and go straight north. And as soon as you get into North Carolina, you're in a little settlement called Otto. And that, when I was there with Squatchman's son, Greg, what's Squatchman's son's name? Eric Yost. Yeah.
Yes.
He went there with me, and we got pictures of gnomes, of elves, Bigfoot, and Bigfoot structures. So go to the Labyrinth in Otto, North Carolina. It is a spectacular place. And, Matt, maybe if you can get down there Friday before the conference, maybe we can head out early and go see what we can find. So I'll check with you and see if you can get off early that day and come on down, okay?
Yep, definitely. I got a question. Now, do you know where the Georgia Guidestones are at? Are they anywhere close to there?
They're in Elberton, Georgia, which is about midway down Georgia. So the Guidestones are kind of far away.
Okay.
But anyway, and I'd love to go down there. I have never been there. And now one person that we always love to be a co-host, and I'm going to pick on him a little bit, is the one from Niagara Falls, Canada, is the one and only Mark Johnson. Thanks for getting on here today. How you doing, Mark?
Excellent. Thanks for having me on again. I'm sorry I'm a little bit late, but I was just hearing you guys talk about Georgia Guidestones, and that's something that always interests me. Apparently, the guy behind that was Ted Turner. You know, Ted Turner, TV,
Are you serious?
Station. Yeah.
I really didn't know that, and that's interesting.
But I think it's all part of, you think of conspiracy theories and things and kind of like Illuminati type things. I think that in the States, this goes back way back in the day to the 1800s, even before, that there's certain secret societies that are part of like major universities and whatnot. And I think that there's these alliances that happen within the universities or within sororities or like fraternal type of thing, fraternal brotherhoods. And I believe that that's what he's a part of. And I think that's what he was translating here, that it's like information that's a part of some fraternal organization, that's what the Georgia Guidestones was about. And I think this is kind of like, I don't think it's Mason per se, but it's kind of like a Masonic type of architecture or kind of obelisk type thing.
Now, it was very expensive, wasn't it? To that granite and stuff that they had, it was, you know, somebody had money, and the person that had it built went under a alias. So that kind of, if the money, you know, Turner's got the money, that's for sure, to have them built. So that's very interesting.
Well, you know, Ted Turner also has an Academy Award-winning wife who won an Academy Award for Best Actress for this murder thriller called Clute in 1968. And I mean, she was one hell of an actress. And then I believe she was in Coming Home with John Voight, another great actor, who unfortunately is overshadowed by his daughter, Angelina Jolie. But John Voight, you talk about an absolute fantastic actor. And, he was nominated for an Academy Award in Midnight Cowboy, and he won an Academy Award for Coming Home, the story about the Vietnam veteran. I mean, he's just a great actor, and I'd like to meet him sometime before he expires. Hopefully he won't. But, that whole family has just done great things. So anyway, that would be a cool thing, Mark, for us to go do sometime. And maybe we can do that. Like after the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, maybe we can just motor on down there, assuming you can get out of Canada. What's the prognosis of you getting out of Canada right now?
Well, there's actually, interesting you say that, there was just some news I saw today where it was, I think, at the beginning of April, they're loosening, quote, restrictions, but nonetheless, coming back in the country, this is my understanding, they're still very vaccinated kind of oriented in Canada. And Canada is just crazy. Like our prime minister is very authoritarian. He's turned and, you know, the restrictions that's on Canada are way more than anywhere else in the West or Europe. It's really crazy. But what I believe is that if I left Canada, say I was to get out of Canada, coming back in, I would need to quarantine for 2 weeks. And that might be the problem with work. So I've got to look into that more. But other than that,
You know what? That'll let you have a nice 2 week vacation, won't it?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Maybe you're absolutely right on that one. To be honest, I wouldn't mind just chilling at home for 2 weeks, to be honest, and not having to worry about work.
Exactly. Although you know how it is, that work pays the bills. But anyway, yeah. We certainly hope you'll get down here, and I'll be wanting to have an update every day to make sure that you're going to get down here, because I know Matt's looking forward to seeing you. Robin McRae of ScaryCast, because you're a co-host on ScaryCast. That's just going to be great. Dr. Trey Donaway looks like he's going to be able to make it. So there would be four of the five of us. And so what we will do is we will Zoom call in Devin Tate, and we'll have a panel with the ScaryCasters. And that's going to be a blast. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. And by the way, you know, it's funny, nobody's asked me what I'm going to talk about at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. Well, Mark and Matt, can I tell everybody?
What are you going to talk about at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference? See, I just asked you.
That's there.
Well, thank you for asking, Mark. Okay, Ron Moorhead wrote a book called The Quantum Bigfoot, and it's an interesting book. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to explain some of the background of quantum physics and how it applies itself to Bigfoot sightings and other cryptid sightings. I'm going to talk about portals, the science around portals. I'm going to talk about There's something else. I've just lost my mind. It's been a long day. But I'm going to talk about some things like that. And share with everybody. And I'm going to talk about the science of cloaking, because cloaking is an important thing. Now, Matt Delf, you do know that Bigfoots do cloak themselves, right?
Yes, I know that there's, whether it's Bigfoot or something, it's something out there that's cloaking itself, that's for sure. I've seen
it. Right, and I'm going to talk about the scientific research behind cloaking. So portals and cloaking and other things like that. So I think my talk's going to be fun, and it's going to be at a level that everybody will be able to understand, whether you're a nice little grandmother that has seen Bigfoot, or if you're a nice strapping young dude who's a senior at University of Georgia, you'll be able to understand it, and I'm going to do my best to make sure that that happens. So that's what I'm going to talk about, some of the science around Bigfoot. Because there really is, and I guess what I would say is there are too many people that say, oh, this is nothing but woo, it's just dumb, whatever. I'm going to tell you something, and unlike Dr. Jeff Meldrum and I are, now we all know who Jeff Meldrum is, right?
Yes.
Okay, Matt, do you want to give us the quick down and dirty on Jeff Meldrum?
He's a professor, I believe it Idaho?
Idaho State, yes, sir.
Yep, okay, and yeah, he does a lot of the casting and stuff, and he does a lot with the dermal ridges, and of course, you know, to him, all this stuff's flesh and blood, but they don't go into the fact, they always say they have to prove it with science, but you can prove with science the quantum side of it as well. And they just want to throw that out.
Here's what I'll say, first of all, about proving the quantum side. I can give you the latest research on the quantum side of it, and you can decide for yourself, number one. But number two, Jeff Meldrum, and I'll say this out in public, he has frequently been found to criticize experiencers, people who have had Bigfoot experiencers. Well, all I've got to say is those experiencers are the kings and queens of the hill because they're the ones that have seen Bigfoot, right?
Correct.
I mean, that's
the ones
what experiencer
that...
means. And I mean,
yep.
I'm sure Dr. Jeff Meldrum won't like my story in Look Up in the Sky, second edition, or it's in the first edition, because I had a Bigfoot experience. It was terrifying. I was almost frightened to death, and I was afraid that I was going to have a heart attack. So don't
hey, can I ask you guys
do what?
I don't want to interrupt you in what you're saying here, but just when you're talking about Meldrum here, do you guys know much about Todd Standing and his Bigfoot research, and what's your general impression about him?
Okay, now Matt Delf is qualified to answer that question, right, Matt Delf?
Yes.
Okay, I'll just finish my story up with I have had my experiences, and I know Bigfoot's real. So I'm going to be talking about my experiences and this quantum theory and how it works. All right, now, Matt, to answer Mark's question about Todd Standing, because you and I have had several discussions about him. So tell us about Todd Standing.
Todd Standing, of course, he's a field researcher. He's a former military special forces, and he goes out like lots of weeks, stuff like that, out in the field. He's really known for a couple pictures that he's taken, and he actually was suing the government for not listing Bigfoot as a species, and there's a lot of speculation around some of his stuff. A lot of people think that since his sister is a makeup artist, he's under a lot of scrutiny. These pictures that he's produced, a lot of people say it's him, and his sister was a special effects makeup professional, makeup artist, and there's a lot of controversy around his stuff, but I got to give him credit, though. He does get out in the field. And that's where he's just not an armchair researcher, whether he hoped something or not. He's actually out in the field, though.
The reason why I ask you guys and your impression is I watched his documentary, where those classic photos come from of actual Bigfoot faces and everything. And in that documentary, at the end, it says, special thanks to Radium Hot Springs Fire and Rescue. Well, it just so happens Radium Hot Springs was where I saw my Bigfoot sighting. And so I believe that his whole documentary that he did and all his research of like the major things was exactly like within very close range of where I believe I saw my Bigfoot. So I think that's a potential Bigfoot hotspot right there on the Rocky Mountains, right there. And so that's what, but at the same time, I've heard these kinds of skepticisms from him about exactly what you're saying about the makeup artist and that it was actually him or like that it was some type of cosmetic type of prosthetics that they were using. But nonetheless, I think it's really interesting because it coincides with my own experience. So I just wanted to ask you guys about that, some people who know about these professionals, you know what I mean? And I just wanted to hear what your credibility of him was.
Yeah, he definitely has experienced some stuff. I do believe that, no doubt.
And Matt and Mark, I want to say something about those criticisms of Todd Standing. It's just nothing but the standard old skeptics. Skeptics, I am going to say, blanketly speaking, skeptics have never done a damn thing in their lives other than complain and say, this is wrong. They've never done anything. I am going to be coming out in my new book, The Bigfoot Companion, and I am going to host a barbecue of a couple of skeptics that talk about the lizard man. They got it all wrong. They've never done, as Matt Delf says, Matt, what's your phrase? Your phrase is boots on the ground, correct?
Yep, exactly.
And so here's the deal. I have done boots on the ground research of the lizard man, and all four of the arguments that they have in their podcast are absolutely downright stupid. They have never researched. They have never gone to Bishopville or Lee County to find out what they're talking about. And I just love barbecuing skeptics. I think they're worthless. They're not, and their work is not worth the paper or the magnetic medium that their podcasts are on. They're not. And I am going to tear the two of these boys up, and I'm going to send them free copies of my book. I can't wait. And I hope, I cannot wait. I'm going to make, you know what, Matt? I'm going to be a child about this, and I'm going to make an issue with it. I'm going to be the guy that says, if you don't get some boots on the ground and you just start talking off the top of your head, then you're not worth anything. You're not a researcher. You're not a nothing. That's a double negative. You're not a nothing. You're not a researcher. You're nobody. And I think skeptics are absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you know, I'll say in terms of Bigfoot, I'll sit right here and say I have 7 sightings. And you know what? That's pretty good. I mean, I've seen Bigfoot 7 times. I've had 15 interactions total. But you know what? I've seen it. I've seen Bigfoot. Don't tell me Bigfoot doesn't exist. I don't want to hear it. Because I was scared one time.
I'm just reading now. I just looked into Todd Standing. He's from Golden, B.C., which I didn't know, which is within an hour of where I saw my Bigfoot sighting, which is in the middle of nowhere. Like, there's literally no cities around. I'm just looking at Todd Standing. He's one of the major Bigfoot researchers, and right beside where I saw my sighting, I guarantee that's where he's researched his things. And it's really interesting that he lives in Golden, which is right there. So I think that there's something to like where I experienced mine. And
now, are you talking about, is it Golden, Canada?
Golden, BC. It's called Golden. It's in the Columbia Valley in BC, British Columbia, close to Banff area. And that's where he lives. He said, I'm reading right now. He's a local there. And I remember watching his documentary, and it said special thanks to Radium Hot Springs Fire and Rescue, whatever. And that's exactly where I live. I lived in Radium, and this area is like the most, like what you would imagine, the most prolific place for Bigfoot to be. So I think it adds credence to like my own experience, even though I'm even skeptical about my own one. Like, when we're talking about Bigfoot researchers and things, I think it's really interesting to see like what including yourself, Matt, like different locations that seem to be Bigfoot hotspots. And when you have multiple kind of evidence that kind of correlates, and I think that adds to the greater like validity of it.
Well, most definitely. If you've got an area that's known, you know, which, given, you know, they vary. They'll go from certain areas, you'll go on a hot streak, and then all of a sudden they'll go cold. But I think that's a lot to do with other factors. But, yeah, I mean, if he does a lot of his research in your area and you've had some sort of interaction, then, I mean, that's just going to validate it. You know, hey, the guy's probably onto something.
But those pictures, and I think we've all seen them, almost seem too good to be true. And I think, like, if you were to capture Bigfoot, like a standard portrait, if I was to get the best portrait of Bigfoot right there in the woods, it would almost be like people would be skeptic and be like, oh, that's way too fake. Like, that doesn't look too good. Looks way too good to be true. But he's got a number of these snapshots of really clear faces and things, and I think that's the best evidence I've seen as far as like a standard picture goes. Like, do you guys agree? It almost seems like it is fake in a way, like by looking at it, but it's very clear facial structure and clear shots of what are supposed to be Bigfoot.
Well, someone did have to get some good photographs at some point. And he did. That's all I've got to say.
Yeah.
Well, no matter what, I don't care what you've got, you're never going to prove Bigfoot exists to the world unless Big Brother says it's okay. I don't care who you are or what, you'll never prove it until they say it's okay. You can have a body, you can have this or that, and they'll shut it down. They're not going to, until they are ready to disclose it, You're not gonna get it out.
But were you on the episode with us, Matt? I think it was John LeMay, maybe, who was like, I told you guys that there's a legend of the area I was living in at the time, right close to Golden, where Todd's standing is, where apparently in the 1800s, when there was the first settlers there, the first pioneers, that there was an actual Bigfoot taxidermied in the local area, that it was on display. And apparently, that was the legend of, like, you know, people, families that have lived there for generations, right, whether it's the natives and the pioneers, families that still live there. I know some of them personally in the family lineage. And they're saying that at one time, family legend, there was actually a Bigfoot on display taxidermied in Columbia Valley there.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, I don't know if there's something that we could dig up on that one. I'm sure there might be some evidence there. But, you know, we always on the show, especially like John LeMay, when he's looking at cases of the 1800s and early 20th century, whatnot, there's, I think, that historic element of evidence adds some like credence or adds some validity as well to it, especially when the natives are saying things as part of the native folklore, especially when there's so many sightings and this type of, you know, word of mouth things that goes intergenerational about a taxidermy Bigfoot in that area. It's really interesting. But
well, yeah, definitely.
That's very cool. And you know what? There's another taxidermied Bigfoot that has seemingly vanished, and that is outside of Shaw Air Force Base in Sumter, South Carolina. I mean, there's a lot of talk about that, but it seems to have gone. So anyway, I don't know what to say.
Well, if they're talking about cloaking and things before, if there's something supernatural about it, especially ET-related, if all these Bigfoots were chipped or tracked to one degree or another and they ended up dying or ended up having an accident or ended up being, like, you know, too close for comfort call with humans, they could potentially get beamed out, like, beam me out, Scotty, out of there. Boom. You know what I mean? Like, I would imagine that's, like, kind of has to do with the portal situation, everything else. There's some type of potentially supernatural thing going on where we don't have this evidence. Even though that we have all these encounters, the reason why we don't have this hardcore evidence of the carcass or anything else is that they could be, like, literally beamed out of there in certain situations. And that's why we don't ever have any direct evidence of them.
I've got a pretty good story of a... I guess you could call it cloaking that I had experienced in the field. It was last summer, and I mean if you guys want to hear it, I'll tell it. But
absolutely,
I know that. Okay, well, is everybody familiar with Mary Green? She she wrote with Janice Carter the 50 Years with Bigfoot. Well, out in her little town, I had done some research, and I was on an expedition out in this area, and she had like a gifting rock or a talking rock is what they called it, where she would meet these Bigfoot, and I actually found it, and me and some other expedition, some crew that I had with me, I think there was four of us that, see, Scott, George, yeah, and there was five of us total. And, well, we're coming back down from that area. Well, we had found, we go out to this meadow, and I see, and this is like 2 o'clock in the morning, so I see something that has, I seen like a trail, something had made going, something big had been going through the woods, so I started tracking it, and it led us to this area. We get inside this area, and it looks, all these stick structures and stuff, kind of spooky, like the Blair Witch Project or whatever, you know. And everybody else stopped. They're like, we're not going in there. We're not gonna mess with that stuff. And I'm like, well, aren't we here? Aren't that what you guys are here for, to see Bigfoot or interact or whatever? And they're like, yeah, but this just don't feel right. So, of course, me being the ego and arrogance of me, it was kind of boring. So I get in there, start messing with the structures. I start cursing, like, come on, show yourself, you know, trying to amp up the activity, which isn't very smart, but I've not been known to do the follow a guideline anyhow whenever I get out there like that. But at the time, it just seemed, you know, I was like, hey, I'm calling it out. Come on out, you know. Well, they all, we backed away. Nothing happened. But that evening after coming back home, that following day, we left out of there and I got home. Well, at my house, I live at the bottom of a mountain, and I don't know if something followed me home from there or what, but I'm laying, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm laying on my bed in my bedroom, and there's two big bangs on my window. And 3 o'clock in the morning, something just boom, like they smacked it really hard to get my attention. And I was like, what in the world? And it's up pretty high. My bedroom window's up pretty high. You got to be at least a good, probably close to 6.5 foot, maybe 7 foot tall to at least reach that close. And I have to get on a chair to try and get up into my window that way, because I've had to crawl through the window before after locking myself out. But, and it's two big bangs, and I'm like, what in the world? So I go outside, I've got my gun, and I've got a flashlight. I'm looking to see what had hit my window twice. I thought somebody's outside messing with me. And there's big muddy spot on the window, and I took pictures of it. But I'm walking around there, and something in the yard was just making a clicking noise. There was nothing there. It's pitch black, but it's right in front of me making this clicking noise. And I'm shining a flashlight. I'm looking at the ground. I'm thinking, well, maybe there's something on the ground, like a snake or something, you know, that's maybe a timber rattler or something. I mean, it's a weird clicking noise. It didn't sound like a rattlesnake, though, but I was just looking down anywhere. And, I mean, it was weird. It was like the predator. It was making that weird clicking noise, but there was nothing in front of me. I'm sitting there with a flashlight on it, and I'm like, what in the world? Then all of a sudden it stopped. It stopped making that clicking noise. And then behind my house is a horse field, and it's got horses, and they got donkeys in there. And a donkey goes off anytime a predator or anything gets out in the field. And next thing you know, after the clicking noise, it was a few seconds later, all of a sudden that donkey starts going off like a predator was in the field. And I'm still puzzled today to what that was. Especially that weird clicking noise. I mean, it was right there in front of me, but I couldn't see anything. I could not see anything at all there.
That's interesting. And was this close to where you're actually doing the Bigfoot research? Like, were they potentially, if it followed you home, was it close enough, or did you actually drive home like 20 minutes from that location, or was it just right in your backyard?
I'm 4 hours away from where I did the research.
Okay.
4 hours away.
Well, now,
so that goes into that. If something did follow me, how did it get there?
These Bigfoots, they can go anywhere. They can open and close portals. They know how.
Can I tell you guys an experience I've had, which I don't attribute it, I never attribute it to Bigfoot, but I think it could be, and I don't think I've shared it with you guys, including you, John, before, which is in the same area where I was telling you about, close to Golan, close to where Todd's standing is from. My friend had a yurt, like, you know, Mongolian yurt type of thing, and it was out in the middle of nowhere. Like, you take this, like, dirt road, private road, way out into the mountains, and he had this, like, remote property where he had this yurt. And we were out there just hanging out, four of us. Yeah. What's up?
I said, what is a yurt?
A yurt is like a dome, type of Mongolian dome house that's like generally made out of like a fabric. His is like, was more tarp, was more modern material, but it's on like a type of like, you know, that kind of interlocking kind of fence, like wooden fence material. You make like a cylinder out of it, and then there's like a roof that's on top of it. So it's like a giant dome, essentially. But anyway, we walked outside to either smoke a cigarette or something like that, and we walked outside just on the front of the yurt, and so I'm sure everybody, you guys included, or your listeners know that, like, if you're looking at just dark woods where there's nothing, and this is in the middle of nowhere, this is Rocky Mountains where there's the closest town's like half hour away. There's nothing there. It's just pure blackness in the forest. Like, when you're looking at just dense trees on like a mountain range, it's just black, right? So essentially he was in this field in this year, but in the tree line, it looked like a literal Christmas display of lights, like orange and red and green, or like, I think it was green, but it was like definitely red lights that were just right there. Like we're like, that's like 100 feet away from us. It was like a Christmas tree display. It looked like a corny, you know, like the cheesy ones that you would expect somebody to put up on their front yard in the woods where there shouldn't be nothing. There's no even electricity there. There's no nothing. Anyway, we were like, we went to explore, like, what the hell is that? We went and we literally walked in the woods and we got like within 20 feet of this light in the woods. And then we're just like, we couldn't even see anything. We didn't even have flashlights or anything like that. But we're like approaching these lights in the woods that are like literally right there. And then we realized, wait, this isn't right. This is kind of fucked up right now. Sorry to swear, but like literally that's what we're like. This is kind of freaky. So we kind of wussied out and we went back to the yurt. But literally we walked into the woods and we were like within a stone's throw of this like weird, it looked like a Christmas tree display. I was wondering if it was potentially eyes of Bigfoot. I was wondering if it was actually something interdimensional going on there. That's what I believe it was, potentially UFO. There's tons of UFO sightings in this place, I've seen myself included. But that's one I don't think I've shared with you guys. Maybe I shared with you, John, back in the day, but something very real that four of us experienced very like clear as day in a dense wood line that there shouldn't be lights there. I know, like deer can have reflective eyes and things like that, but this was like luminescent, like I said, Christmas tree display. It's like what you would expect.
Now, did it have a fog with it?
Not that we noticed, but it was just black, like what you expect, a black, dense tree line in the middle of the night. You can't see anything in it. There's no lights. There's no street lights. It was in the middle of nowhere. And it just looked almost like there was a UFO landing right there, to be honest. That's what we thought. We're talking about it after. We've talked about it years after, even. Still keep in touch with some of the guys that were there. Like, I'm sure if I Facebooked them right now, we'd be like, yeah, oh, yeah, I remember that. But we were literally just outside having a cigarette out at my buddy's yurt, and it was just like, imagine looking into the woods where there should be nothing, in the middle of nowhere, and there's like a full-on Christmas display going on in the woods. Like, that's what it was.
I know exactly.
That's the best way I can explain it.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. Seen that several times. Do I think it's Bigfoot related? Not necessarily. Same way with my experience with whatever is clicking in front of me. I'm not saying it was Bigfoot. There's so much stuff out there. That's like the time that the reason I asked you if there was a fog was because at the top of Clingman's Dome up around Newfoundland Gap in the Smoky Mountains, Travis Walton from Fire in the Sky, myself, and Angelia Shear, we had gone up to the top up there about midnight, and this fog had come in, and it had these little lights inside the fog, which was kind of spooky, you know. I'm like, all right, and they're like, no, we need to get out of here. Of course, you got Travis Walton, who'd been abducted before, so I'm like,
he was
there
too? Travis Walton was with you?
Yes.
Travis Walton was with you?
Yes.
Wow, that's interesting. That's crazy. Fire in the Sky guy, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, Fire in the Sky guy. So, Matt, what did Travis Walton do, or how did he react to those lights?
He looked up, and he was looking at them, and I thought, well, first, I'm like, well, is it the stars, you know, that we're seeing through? Because the fog will roll in up that high altitude up there on the mountain. And as it was coming in, this fog was coming in, I said, is it the stars? And then I got looking. He's like, no, it ain't the stars. And then we look up, and the stars are above the fog, of course. You know, they're up higher. They're up above the fog. But in that fog was these little twinkling lights. And that's when things, they were getting kind of, you could tell they were a little uneasy and And Angelia, she's like, we need to get out of here. I'm like, I'm getting excited. I'm like, all right. And there, Travis is like, Yeah, he's like, yeah, I think she's right. I think we need to get out of here. They were ready to go.
Well, that's our general intuition, too. At first, we had this curiosity. We're like, what the hell is that? We, like, wandered off into the woods. And then when we got, like, within 20 feet of it, 30 feet, and, again, dense trees, like, I was literally, like, getting tree poked in the faces, like, wandering through the bush. And then we got close to it. We're like, wait a sec, this isn't right. Like, what the hell's going on here, guys? And we all just wussied out and ran back into the
right.
Yurt because it was like.
Mark, I'm going to interrupt you, and I'm going to say, Matt, did all three of you leave at that moment?
Yes. They were leaving, and I was the chauffeur. I was the one that drove, so since they were ready to go, I guess I had to go too, or they weren't going anywhere.
Gotcha. Okay. I just wanted to know, Mark, I'm sorry. I just wanted to know the end of the story. Did they leave?
Yeah, no worries.
And I guess they did.
Yeah, they was ready. They were like, let's get out of here.
Well, it's interesting that you're with Travis Walton, of all people. Like, Travis Walton, that seems to be his story, too. He was on a camping trip or a canoe or something, and then he saw the lights, and then he ended up, like, they found him, like, naked or something, like, a few days later. I don't know if he's naked, but they, like, found him, like, you know, a few days later with, like, amnesia type of thing, right?
He was logging, and him and the logging crew, they were heading off the mountain, and they thought, they call it fire in the sky because it looked like a forest fire, a red light. And then when he got out to inspect it, it was an actual spaceship, and it hit him with a beam of light. And then the loggers got scared. They drove down, took off without him, thought it killed him. Then they guys, well, we better go back and check, make sure it didn't kill him. They go back, and he's gone. He's gone, and he returns like 5.5 days later. And he's got some recollection of what happened, but you could tell that, you know, he had experienced something, and
but the movie was not story. The movie was not accurate, though, from my understanding. Like, I think I heard him talk about something. It was kind of a movie, like Hollywood, you know how it is, like, embellishes things and whatever. It was nothing like that, apparently. But was there any kind of abduction recollection of actual any entities?
Yeah, he remembers he woke up and there was this thing across his chest, and he smacks it off, and he smacks an alien little guy that was standing next to him, and he starts throwing stuff at him, and there's a couple of them in the room, and then they all run out the hallway, and he runs out the hallway, goes the opposite direction, and then he ends up in this room, and this person that looks like a human, but he said he could tell it wasn't a human, come in there and tried to calm him down. And they took him through a hangar, I believe, and then I can't remember a whole lot after that. Like, they took him into this thing, and he don't remember anything after that. And he woke up, he remembers laying on the road and seeing the lights as they're leaving the up into the sky, and he's laying on the road. And that's when he went and called his brother at that payphone.
Well, that seems like there's a lot that he did recall, though, a lot of specific details and, like, especially running up hallways and things, you know what I mean? Unless you have some type of false memory, that's a lot of just having some, weird dream state or something. Like, that seems like it's a bit more than that.
They got more info from him. They put him under hypnosis and brought back a lot of the trauma. And that's a good thing with our research. We always like to, if somebody has missing time or something, we like to have somebody put them under hypnosis and see if we can't recover what happened during that time that they don't remember. It's a great tool to have if you've got a research team.
Right.
John, should I talk about what happened to me last week here? I don't know if it's a good, appropriate time to do so, but, like, I want to hear Matt and talk about Bigfoot and things, but, you know, there's some...
Let's do that on a scary cast, say, in, like, right after the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. And we'll be having, and we've got an interesting guest on Monday night Scarycast, right after the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. We've got my buddy Mark Sargent, who's the head of the Flat Earth Movement. And I love Mark Sargent. He is like one of my favorite people. He's a great guy. He's a good friend. And he always comes on Scarycast when I ask him. And so I'm going to be working on maybe a little deal with Mark Sargent. Flat Earth is fun. I don't care what anybody says. It's interesting. It may or may not be correct, but it's very interesting. Do either of you guys know much about the flat Earth?
Yeah, I can prove Flat Earth wrong in just one simple way, which is so if the southern hemisphere is closer to an edge of the disk, that means the circumference closer edge of the disk is larger. So that means traveling from Australia to South Africa to Chile to back to South Africa would be larger because it's farther away the disk than somewhere like New York to Rome to Hong Kong back to New York. But guess what? They coincide. It's both 40 hours to circumnavigate closer to the edge of the disk than it is to supposedly closer to the middle of the disk, which doesn't make sense physics-wise, so therefore Flat Earth is debunked. It's a sphere. And the other thing is something called the Coriolis effect, which you can go down the equator, go to somewhere like Uganda, you go 20 meters north of the equator, the water spins, I believe, counterclockwise. And you go 20 meters below the equator, it spins the opposite direction. You go right on the equator, it gets sucked down like, it doesn't even spin. But guess what? You look up at Jupiter, the same thing happens. Coriolis effect, it's based on planets' rotation in north and south of the hemisphere. Flat Earth can't explain that, especially they say stationary flat Earth. Why on a stationary plate does water spin one way and then 20 meters another way, it spins the other way? They can't explain that.
Yeah, but you know what, Mark? It's fun. The flat Earth is fun. It's great to talk about.
Sure, it's fun to debate people. It's fun. And you know what? I believe in a multi-dimensional Earth. So, like, you know, I believe that, like, even the Earth that we see it, you know, and I believe this goes to the whole portal thing, the whole quantum thing. I think there's more to it than just the spherical Earth. I think there's, like, different harmonics and that we can travel through in different frequency bands and things with alongside us, which maybe is flat. Maybe it's, like, all along a continuum that's flat. So technically it is flat Earth in a weird way. But it's not flat in the physical world. That's for sure. And I think things like hollow Earth.
I would say it's fun to talk about. It really is. And I always enjoy having Mark Sargent on. So that's going to be a big deal. That's going to be a big deal for me. Because we have the week or before the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, we have Matt Delft and Jessica Jones, and before that we have John LeMay. I mean, we're getting down to it. We're getting down to 2.5 weeks to the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and we've got just killer guests. And by the way, Mark, next week, I tell you what, let me go ahead and spill the beans and tell everybody who we're going to have. I've got to go on my computer. Of course, it's shut down, and I got to get everything back up. And I think we got it back up now. But we've got some great guests next week. Where is it? There it is. We are going to have Robin McCray and Duraine Fisher. They're going to be talking about the dark side of Bigfoot research. Next Tuesday night on Scarycast Tuesday. And Mark, that's going to be a blast, and that's going to be out there on the Georgia Bigfoot Conference and on the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference and on Scarycast. We're going to be announcing it to 5,000 people. This is going to be a gigantic deal. It's going to be a lot of fun. Robin McCray called me up and said, can we do it? I said, absolutely. We can't wait. We can't wait to be there and let it happen. So we've got a lot of great Bigfoot activities coming up as we get into the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and it's just going to be a blast. And so, of course, everybody stay tuned and listen, and we'll have lots of announcements and everything. And I want to challenge every one of you to come on up to the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, Clayton, Georgia, Rabun County Civic Center, April 16th from 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and it's going to be a blast, and I want everybody to be there. So now we're going to have to go. So what I always like to do, as we learn from Papa Stro Maestro, everybody gets their plug time and tell us what they're up to doing. So Matt, what are you going to be doing between now and the Georgia Bigfoot Conference? What are you up to, and tell us, okay?
All righty. I'm going to scout out a couple of sightings this weekend. I'm working on my YouTube channel. Go and subscribe to it. It's Matthew Delp, Badass Monster Hunter. Of course, you know, I'd have to come up with some name like that. But, yeah, I'm going to have a lot of interesting videos and stuff to upload on there. And it's just going to be educational and enjoyable, kind of show you some field work, what to do out in the woods, some interviews. But that's one project I'm working on, one of many. But between now and the Bigfoot Conference, I'm just going to continue researching and getting ready for the conference. Excited about seeing everybody.
Well, we're excited about having you there with us. It's going to be a lot of fun now that COVID is out of the way. Oh, my goodness, did I say it? COVID is out of the way and all that. So now, Mark, we're assuming you're going to be with us in about 2 weeks and 3 days. So what are you doing between now and then?
I very much hope I'm there. Like, I'm going to do everything in my ability to be there. I really need a vacation, to be honest, in general. I need to get out of the country. It's been 2 years since we let us out of the country. So I'm planning to be there. I hope to see you guys. If not, I'll be there in spirit and potentially do a video or something that you can you can put on, or I can, or like some type of Zoom call or something along those lines. But
I
want to say
yes.
Yep.
You'll be there in person or in Zoom, correct?
Exactly. I hope person. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to look definitely more into it because they just announced something, I believe, like a day or two ago about crossing the border. And that's the one thing that they've been really, like, you know, adamant on for some reason. So we'll see how they let loose with that because they're letting all the other restrictions go. But I just want to say, always being on podcasts with Matt, you know, you were the first one that I was on with John there. And we've talked ever since and things. And it's always a great conversation with you on this podcast. I really like how it's just me, you, and John, you know, like as much as I love Scarycasters, you know, there's always like five or six people on that. It's just good to have a conversation between some good friends, and you guys are awesome. I really, really love what you've done, both of you, and I'm excited to see you guys in person, meet you guys in person.
Well, that's great, Mark, and thank you. And I'll tell everyone what I'm doing. We've got Introduction to Hominology that has been revamped. That is in the book with myself, Dr. Igor Burtsev, and Robin McCrae. And then we've got the Field Guide to Bigfoot Research that has been redone with myself, Igor Burtsev, Robin McCrae, and Eric Hollifield, who's our expert in casting down there in Clayton, Georgia. And the last thing that's going to be available, the third book, which is coming out, is Look Up in the Sky, Aliens, UFOs, and Bigfoot, second edition. And right now I am in the middle of researching one of the most incredible UFO sightings in history, and nobody knows about it. I'm the guy that got tipped off about it. I have interviewed people in the little town of Tabor City. I've got a major interview coming up tomorrow with the attorney in town who is the historian, and then I'm going to go interview the lady that saw everything. She's last. She doesn't even know I'm coming. I know her address. Everybody is on my side, the sheriff, the police chief, the head of the newspaper. Everybody wants this story to come out. So this is going to be the new lead story on Aliens, UFOs, and Bigfoot, Look Up in the Sky, and it's called The Sydney Monsters. And there's a little crossroads called Sydney. And Mark, you and Devin Tate and I did a show about Sydney Monsters about 6 weeks ago. But I'm telling you what, it's coming to an exciting conclusion, and I can't wait till tomorrow. I've got the second-to-last interview, and then either Friday or Monday comes the big interview with Rose Williamson, and it's going to be a blast, and I'm just so grateful. It'll be so good to have that book out in its second edition and this great new story of the Sydney Monsters. I've got some wonderful artwork by Dylan Tomash, my buddy who does caricatures for me now. He's one of the finest young artists I've ever seen. So I am super, super excited. So I want
to
say
not to spoil it, John, but like, was there some relation between Bigfoot? Because I remember that story. There was some technology involved with them, and they were like, it almost seems like they were teleporting or something. From your research, do you think that was a Bigfoot story?
Here's the deal: you're just going to have to wait. I've closed down all information until the book comes out on April the 16th, and it's going to be a blast. So, in fact, half of my talk is going to be about the Sydney Monsters. For very good reasons.
It's all related anyhow.
Do what?
It's all related anyhow. Bigfoot, UFO, it's all related anyhow.
Absolutely.
Something like that, Matt. And it's amazing how perceptive you are. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for being here tonight on Scarycast Tuesday. Next week we'll have Robin McCrae and Duraine Fisher on Scarycast Tuesday along with Mark. And on Monday night we will have John LeMay, the great paranormal author from Roswell, New Mexico. Believe me, if anyone knows where the bodies are buried, he does. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks a lot for listening to us, everybody from the Georgia Bigfoot Conference website, and we'll see you next time, next Monday night, next Tuesday night, 9 o'clock p.m. on the one and only The Original, and it's going to even more nights every week. Scary Cast. We'll see you, Matt. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Nice talk, guys. Awesome talk.
Nice talk.
Good night.
It's been great.